Recorder's on.
Good morning, everyone. It's March 17th, and today is the Administration and Operations Committee meeting of the Annuity and Pension Board of the Employees Retirement System. Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Ms. King?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Klusman?
Here.
Ms. Sawa?
Here.
Quorum.
Thank you. It's 9:02 a.m. Our first order of business is an election of a vice chair. Do I have any nominations?
I'll nominate Molly. This is Tom.
Okay, thank you.
You can call for other nominations now, Aisha. That's usually the way it goes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Okay, do I have any other nominations? Do we have any other nominations? Do we need a second then?
No. Hearing no other nominations, you just proceed.
Hearing no other nominations, then do we vote?
Sure.
Okay, can we have a vote then for election of Molly King as vice chair?
Ms. King?
I guess I vote for myself.
Mr. Klusman?
Aye.
And Ms. Sawa?
Aye.
Majority for Ms. King.
Oh, before we move on, Aisha, may I say something?
Yeah.
Congratulations, Molly.
Thank you. Mr. Klusman and Ms. Sawa, thank you for this opportunity, and I hope I can step up to the table and, you know, serve both of you as well as best I can. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm sure you do a great job.
Thank you. Yes, me too.
Okay, our next agenda item is the Baker Tilly financial audit. This is marked for closed session, so please be advised that the Administration and Operations Committee may vote to convene in closed session of the following item as provided in section 19.851C for considering employment promotion, compensation or performance evaluation data of any public employee over which the governmental body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility, and in section 9.851F when considering financial, medical, social or personal histories of disciplinary data of specific persons, preliminary consideration of specific personnel problems or the investigation of charges against specific persons except where Paragraph B applies, which if discussed in public would be likely to have a substantial adverse effect upon the reputation of any person referred to in such histories or data or involved in such problems or investigations. Should we have a roll call to go into closed session?
We need a motion.
Or a motion, sorry.
Motion to go into closed session. This is Molly King.
Thank you, Molly.
And a second?
Second by Tom.
All right, roll call, Ms. King?
Aye.
Mr. Klusman?
Aye.
Ms. Sawa?
Aye.
Quorum, and just say the time and I'll pause the recorder.
9:05 a.m.
Thanks. The recorder's on now if you just say the time.
The time is 9:20. Do I have a motion to go back into open session?
I have readmitted everybody. So, should be
safe
at this time.
Motion to go back into open session.
I'll second that.
Yeah. So, should we do a roll call then to go back into open session?
We're going to go back into closed session again, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to read that statement?
Well, do we need to go into open and then go back into close, or can we just stay in close?
Well, we had to go back into open session so you can read the next statement for Jefferson Wells.
Okay.
It's a different exception, so it'll probably be.
Okay, so do we need to have a roll call to go into open session or not?
Yes.
Okay, so can I have a roll call then, Jen?
Sure. Ms. King?
Aye.
Mr. Klusman?
Aye.
And Ms. Sawa?
Aye.
Majority. Quorum.
All right. 9:21. Okay, our next agenda item is also noticed for closed session. It's the Jefferson Wells IT Vulnerability Audit Report. So please be advised that the Administration and Operations Committee may vote to convene in closed session on the following item as provided in Section 19.851I, Wisconsin State Statutes, for considering all matters related to acts by businesses under Section 560.15, which, if discussed in public, could adversely affect the business, its employees, or former employees. The committee may then vote to reconvene in open session following the closed session.
We just need a motion.
I'll motion for a closed session, Mr. Klusko.
Thank you.
I'll second that motion.
Thank you.
And Ms. King?
I'll second that motion.
I'm just doing a roll call now for closed session.
Aye.
Mr. Klusman?
Aye.
Ms. Sawa?
Aye.
Ms. Quorum? And just say the time and I'll pause the recorder again.
9:22.
Thanks.
Do we have a roll call to go back into open session?
Ms. King?
Aye.
Mr. Klusman?
Aye.
Ms. Sawa?
Aye.
If you just say the time.
9:35 a.m.
Thank you.
Our next agenda item is the IT projects portfolio. Who's taking that one?
Mr. Schulman, I'll be doing it.
Okay. Please go ahead.
All right. Very well. So the first slide up here is a synopsis of our major projects and initiatives that are active, and the second bottom part of the slide is the actual application statistics. So a couple of things I would point out on the top of this is the vulnerability assessment. We just talked about that, and it is now closed as of about 30 seconds ago. The other thing I would note in here is a little further down the list, you'll see an item says SSRS. That's been a multi-year migration off of a reporting tool that has gone, not even out of support. I think the vendors actually retired it. So that's actually going to finish up next month, and that was a pretty monumental effort. We had to rewrite all of the reports in merits. So every single one had to be rewritten and validated that they were correct, and we're just now finishing that up. Let's see. So the application statistics, again, below are, this is comes out of our change management and problem management systems, and these are just a synopsis of the tickets that we have in those systems. Any questions on that first slide?
What does PIR and CCR stand for?
So PIR is a problem resolution, and CCR are the actual changes.
Okay.
All right, so the next couple slides are some breakdowns of the 2020 effort from the IT department. And the first one is a pretty broad category around how we spend our time, total of 19,000 plus hours spent. And you can see the breakdown is some 11% administration, and infrastructure. Okay, the next slide actually breaks that down a little farther and gives you some definitions around how we actually spent our time. Was it upgrades, maintenance, administration, that type of audits, that type of activity.
I was gonna ask on this slide, is that hours or percentage for disaster recovery, is that low or is that normal?
That is fairly normal.
Okay.
So we typically, every year we produce, we actually have a disaster recovery exercise where we actually flip over to the disaster recovery site. So that's, it would be a lot different if we had major remediation to do or something major change in the system where we're gonna test a new component. But in a typical year where we're just doing the test itself, 15 hours would be normal.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Actually, the only thing I'll mention about that is that it's sort of a definitional thing. I mean, we are in emergency recovery for the last year. We do have, one person that frequently operates out of the remote site. So this is kind of an item for testing, but we basically have, implemented that recovery from the pandemic emergency, and it so far anyway seems to be working. Hopefully.
And I just want to embellish it, we have a high confidence, and we practice on a regular enough basis, we have a high confidence if we had a true disaster, we would be able to flip over to our remote site and continue operations as normal within an hour or two.
Right. We just received, and Molly knows about this because we got it, Molly, a inquiry about remote working. I guess apparently the city is doing, surveying all of the departments and agencies to determine, you know, the profile for remote working going forward. I'm not sure I understand. I talked to Dennis briefly a while ago. I think the city is doing some space planning. And of course, Molly, we will respond to that. Melody and Daniel are taking a look at it. I speak next to you. Okay. Thanks for making us aware of that.
Yep. Just to confirm, there's two disaster recovery sites we have, right? And one outside of city parameters.
So the way we're set up is the first hot run system is actually physically at the 789 location. There's another set of servers we'd be able to flip over to. But then there is one site in Madison, correct? We actually have rented a couple, actually it's only a single rack from the state data center up on Fenway Drive.
I mean, don't we have a third side of that? Isn't there one by Park?
Oh, so that is the remote office. That actually, there's no computing capacity there. That would be office space. So in the event that we couldn't occupy the 789 location on Water Street, we would actually move bodies out to the remote office, and it's right at the edge of Menominee Falls.
And then, yeah, the only computers we have out there are desktop computers.
Got it. Okay.
And as Jerry said, we actually have had people, because of the pandemic, they're actually working out of that office on a pretty regular basis.
Okay.
Okay, so this slide is just a graph of the payroll runtime. So we run payroll once a month, and this is how the runtimes graph out start to finish. So you would expect this to increase as time goes on, so because more people on payroll, more activities that happen there. So this is actually normal. All right, so the next couple of slides is we actually broke down the PIRs and CCR tickets and by month, and just laid those out for you so you can have an opportunity to see how our year typically balances out. So it's categorized by application tickets and then by infrastructure tickets.
So for my application, help me understand this a little bit. You see, I have 103 tickets. I'm trying to get up, open for upgrades. These are all basically the blue are all upgrades, or?
I'm sorry, say that again.
So the 70 were, I'm trying to understand the graph. So basically the PIR are mostly what, and then the CCR are the upgrades, correct?
Right, so PIRs are problems, some defect that we found, or we had a failure of some kind, maybe a machine failed or something like that. I've noticed a couple in there for failed disk drives. And then CCRs are actual changes that we plan to do, so for instance, adding the vision component to merits would have been a CCR that we would have opened, and that would have been something we had changed at the end of last year.
Okay. So one example of a PIR would be?
So a PIR, so a big one actually was the power outage we had at the end of December. So we would have logged the PIR for that, and then all the activities that would have happened as a result of that PIR and all the investigative work and we did was actually logged under that ticket.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Molly, just for everyone's benefit, especially for, since you're new, our architecture, and Jeffrey, jump in if I get this incorrect, but basically we have a suite of software that we call it the 7-layer cake that encompasses a number of more than a dozen different software applications. And then that are, you know, associated with merits or tied into it one way or another. And then we have something else we refer to as magic kingdoms, okay? These are magic kingdoms of functionality. And depending on who you talk to, there's as many as maybe 17 of these things. So it's a very complicated architecture, and it's kind of like a biosphere. I mean, it's a living, breathing thing that has to be attended to continuously. It's not a matter of, you know, one and done and installing it and walking away. It doesn't work that way, unfortunately. So it requires a constant maintenance, and Jeff indicated a couple of reasons why. One was a power outage that occurred. They had to dig up the street out in front of our building. And the other one, a failed disk drive. Things like that occur routinely all the time. Anything else you want to add on that, Jeff?
No, that's absolutely correct. So there are all kinds of components here, all the way from the machine level, the actual physical machine, up to and including all the application layer. And we have to play with that, not play with it, we have to constantly, there's new versions that come out. The security patches alone happen every month. So that's a couple of days worth of work. So it's, and then an event like this, the power outage, well, that caused a few hundred hours worth of work as we were looking at all the things that had to happen, or do we have any vulnerabilities, or do we have any deficiencies that we had to address because of the power outage. So all those things and components keep us quite busy.
Maybe, Jeff, for the budget meeting, we should bring out the old seven-layer cake slide and show that for the newer trustees that haven't seen it before.
Very good. So actually, we made that in, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions on those two? Okay. This is just more detail on the actual batch jobs that we run in Merits. So we ran a little over 6,000 application batch jobs in 2020. And then just there's some examples there, so you have an idea of all the different functions in Merits that we run batch jobs for every day.
Any other questions?
All right, next slide. Portfolio? Or no, we don't have it. There it is. All right. So this is the actual active portfolio as of the first of this month. And we review this in a meeting, usually the third or fourth day of every month. And this is the active portfolio we just looked at a couple weeks ago. And you'll see there, the top portion are the ones we're actively working on right now. And the lower portion is actual things that have been finished, and give an idea of what the cost is, the internal cost for all that. There's nothing really, this is kind of a synopsis of the very first slide where we had those bullet points. So those would all be on here as well. And there's a lot of, as you can see, there's a lot of internal activity to our point of care and feeding. The stuff at the bottom is IP address reviews, DNS reviews, Active Directory reviews, firewall reviews. So we're doing this on a regular basis to ensure that, first off, the software is up to date, that things like accounts that are inactive, or you know, if someone leaves, we take those accounts out of the system so they're not available to be exploited. We look at the firewalls to make sure they're up to date and everything works properly with those. So there's a lot of care and feeding that we do on a regular basis to ensure the systems are safe, operate as efficiently as possible, and provide the business need that's required by the business.
And so are the 7 through 10, are those audits that CLA are doing? Or am I misunderstanding that?
7 through, no, those are actually all internal ones. So those are, my staff is doing that. So we do that on a regular basis. And as time goes on and things, it's not that we're not being responsive to it, it's just as a year, we do it on an annual basis to ensure that there's the things that are in the system are supposed to be there. And something didn't inadvertently get missed, or just through normal operations got added and needed to be taken out. So for instance, if we're doing a major test, we may add a handful of accounts to actually do the testing and simulate what's going to happen. So at the end of the year, we may not need those anymore. And that process would say those accounts now come out of the system, so they're not available anymore. So that would be a good example of how that type of activities we're doing there.
Okay. Any other questions for Jeff? Okay.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. Moving on to agenda item 5, the organizational personnel update. Jerry, is that you?
Hello, he's going to do that. She likes to talk about it every time. I'll jump in if I have a comment. Melody, are you there? I saw you on the line.
Hi. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Okay, for the ERS operations director position and the accounting assistant two position. We have completed our interview process, so we're in the process of negotiations for the operation director position, and we hopefully will have both of those positions filled by the end of this month. And we're still working with DER on the network administrator position and the record tech two position. Do you have any questions?
This is Molly. I have one question. Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
Okay. With the ERS operations director, that was linked to a contractor. Do we still have the contractor on?
Yes, that expires at the end of the month, and that's why we're getting it. As Molly said, that's why we're going to get it done. We have made, there is a finalist in that position, and we are waiting for a response from DER and the head of the Finance Personnel Committee on the wage, on the wage assignment. So we expect to hear from them anytime. Hopefully we'll be in a position to make, the offer's already been made. It's just a question of will they, it's subject to the level of pay.
Got it. So we're not running the risk of losing our contractors and not having somebody on board or anything like that. There's no risk of that, is there?
Well, we had a number of good candidates for that position. We'll be okay, Molly. We just have to wait and see what if Owen and Murphy and our new HR director are comfortable with the salary that's required in the market today. Sometimes in the past there have been hitches, but I'm not anticipating any of this.
Okay. Thanks, Jerry and Melanie.
Are there any other questions?
I don't have any. Molly asked the same thing I was thinking, and I'm glad that we have a candidate, but let's hope that it works out. Yeah.
Well, I think with that, then, do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you.
I'll second that motion.
Thank you. I think we're adjourned, right? We don't have to take the roll call.
No, just say the time.
We're adjourned at 9:51.
Thanks.